Hello everyone, it's Richard Lewis with another video here, and today I'm going to be talking about an article that appeared in The Guardian. Now, I was just going to put this into the regular Richard Lewis show, because obviously we break down media spin and media lies in that and take a look at what's going on journalistically all around the world. But this article really stood out to me, and I felt it deserved its own video. So full disclosure, this is actually the second video I've recorded about this article. I have just got rid of the first one because it would make me look rather silly. Not entirely. I rightly identified that this article was a fake. What I didn't realize is that this was actually a very cleverly planted hoax designed to discredit the mainstream media. Lots to talk about here. It's a fantastic story. But let's start by taking a look at the article. Now, this is it. You can see the headline is inflammatory and ridiculous right from the get-go. The alt-right online poison nearly turned me into a racist. And it's by Anonymous. So you can see there's a tagline here saying it started with Sam Harris, moved on to Milo Yiannopoulos, and almost led to full-scale Islamophobia. If it can happen to a lifelong liberal, it could happen to anyone. And this comes in the aftermath. If you remember, you know, The Guardian published an article talking about the radicalization of white men online. What's happening to them is we're all being turned into white supremacists without our knowledge. That's very plausible. You know, if you go on any of these sites that, you know, give you an alternative view to what the mainstream media is peddling or anything that kind of pushes against, you know, liberal lies, then you're radicalized, you're a white supremacist. And actually, as you'll find out, that was one of the inspirations for this article being written. And I'm going to point out some of the parts of this. It starts out very plausibly. This is the kind of nonsense you would read on many a publication like The Guardian. I'm a happily married young white man. I grew up in a happy conservative household. I've spent my entire life, save the last 4 months, as a progressive liberal. All of my friends are very liberal or left-leaning centrists. I've always voted Liberal Democrat or Green. I voted Remain in the referendum. The thought of racism in any form has always been abhorrent to me. When Leave won, I was devastated. I was curious as to the motives of Leave voters. Surely they were not all racist, bigoted or hateful. I watched some debates on YouTube. Obvious points of concern about terrorism were brought up. A Leaver cited Sam Harris as a source. I looked him up. This intellectual free thinker, in inverted commas, was very critical of Islam. Naturally, my liberal knee-jerk reaction was to be shocked, but I listened to his concerns and some of his debates. This, I think, is where YouTube's suggested videos can lead you down a rabbit hole. Moving on from Harris, I unlocked the Pandora's box of it's not racist to criticize Islam content. Eventually, I was introduced by YouTube algorithms to Milo Yiannopoulos and various anti-SJW videos. They were shocking at first, but always presented as innocuous criticism from people claiming to be liberals themselves or centrists, sometimes just a regular conservative, but never ever identifying as the dreaded alt-right. For 3 months, I watched this stuff grow steadily more fearful of Islam. Not Muslims, they would usually say. Individual Muslims are fine. But Islam was presented as a threat to Western civilization. Fear-mongering content was presented in a compelling way by charismatic people who would distance themselves from the very movement of which they were a part. At the same time, the anti-SJW stuff also moved on to anti-feminism, men's rights activists, all that stuff. I followed a lot of these people on Twitter but never shared any of it. I just passively consumed it because deep down, I knew I was ashamed of what I was doing. I'd started to roll my eyes when my friends talked about liberal progressive things. What was wrong with them? Did they not understand what being a real liberal was? All my friends were just SJWs. They didn't know that free speech was under threat and that politically correct culture and censorship were the true problem. On one occasion, I am ashamed to admit, very diplomatically expressed some negative sentiments on Islam to my wife. Nothing overtly racist, just some of the innocuous type of things the YouTubers had presented. Islam isn't compatible with Western civilization. She was taken aback. Isn't that a bit right wing? I justified it. Well, I'm more a left-leaning centrist. PC culture has gone too far. We should be able to discuss these things without shutting down the conversation by calling people racists or bigots. The indoctrination was complete. So, I read this article, and my gut reaction was, this is fake, this is bullshit, this is absolute nonsense. And you can spot these things. You know, I used to write satire back when I was at university. You know, I used to be a polemicist, but I also used to write a bit of satire now and then, and kind of lampoon the media. And you get a vibe for when something is faked, you know, because it's too perfect. It just fits too much. And I looked at this, and this was just absolute... this was the wet dream of something like The Guardian. You know, the idea that criticizing Islam in any form is inherently racist, that's exactly the kind of bullshit they want to peddle and have peddled. So to find somebody who's saying, oh, you know, I'm doing that and I'm racist, it's garbage. It just doesn't fit. It just doesn't make sense. It was too perfect. So my reaction was that this is fake. And I recorded a video ranting and raving about how fake it was and how the likelihood was that The Guardian had a blogging friend, the writer, you know, the editor of the tech section had a couple of blogging friends and basically said, do you want to write a piece of fiction for The Guardian? It'll go out anonymously. And even though there's a disclaimer at the end of the article saying that they weren't paid for this, obviously we all know journalism. It's about networking. It's about cronyism. And you know, how many favors you can do for one another, one hand washes the other, and eventually you might get a full-time job out of it, or you might get some freelance work out of it. That's just the nature of the fucking beast, unfortunately. So, I identified that this was absolute garbage, and I think a lot of people did. There was a few tweets online saying this is fake, but I was coming at it from the angle that this was... incited garbage. This was designed to put out a bunch of fake stuff, and they were going to pretend it was real. I had no idea that this was a clever piece of satire in and of itself. And looking back, I probably should have picked up on it. I probably should have realized with everything that's been going on, you know, we've seen recently with all of these, you know, hate crimes that are going on in the post-Trump era, which are all, you know, so far they've all been, you know, vast majority at least, have been proven to be fake. We also saw, you know, an example of somebody planting stories in the mainstream media and just seeing how they're just published without any fact checking, without anything whatsoever. Nobody wants to scrutinize anything that fits their narrative in the press. And that's exactly what was going on here, as far as I could tell. But let's just go on a little bit more. He talks about being red-pilled. And then he says, you know, this is exactly like a cult. What am I doing? I'm turning into an arsehole. I unsubscribed and unfollowed from everything and told myself outright, you're becoming a racist. What you're doing is turning you into a terrible, hateful person. Until that moment, I hadn't even realized that alt-right was what I was becoming. I just thought I was more open-minded for tolerating these views. It would take every swear word under the sun to describe how I now felt about tolerating such content and gradually accepting it as truth. I've spent every day since feeling shameful for being so blind and so easily coerced. US election day rolled around and I was filled with dread. Trump's win felt like the EU referendum morning all over again, magnified by 100. Although I never shared any of this rubbish with anybody, I feel partly responsible. It's clear this terrible ideology has now gone mainstream. It hit me like a ton of bricks. And it even links to this article here, which I'll link to in just a second. The online radicalization of young white men. It's here. It's serious. And I was lucky to be able to snap out of it when I did. And if it can get somebody like me to swallow it, a lifelong liberal, I can't imagine the damage it is doing overall. It seems so subtle. At no point did I think my casual and growing Islamophobia was genuine racism. The good news for me is that my journey towards the alt-right was mercifully brief. I never wanted to harm or abuse anybody verbally. It was all very low level, a creeping fear and bigotry that I won't let infest me again. But I suspect you could, if you don't catch it quickly, be guided into a much more overt and sinister hatred. I haven't yet told my wife that this happened, and I honestly don't know how to. I need to apologize for what I said and tell her that I certainly don't believe it. It is going to be a tough conversation, and I'm not looking forward to it. I didn't think this could happen to me, but it did, and it will haunt me for a long time to come. The author was not paid for this piece. So, you know, it's so wonderfully, you know, the great piece of satire, right? It has to be believable, has to be so stupid, that it's believable, but so stupid that in retrospect you can look back and go, "Fucking hell! How did I fall for that? How did I get trolled?" So, shortly, a few days after this article was doing the rounds and everyone was rightly ripping into it, it turned out that one of my favorite Twitter accounts was actually claimed responsibility for this. This is a chap, if you don't follow this guy, you've got to. This is a Godfrey Elfwick. You can see he wonderfully lampoons just the gibberish that comes out of progressives these days. Describes himself as a genderqueer Muslim atheist, born white in the wrong skin, that's a hashtag, itinerant jongleur, self, filters life through the lens of minority issues. And it's such a funny account. And he says, "Okay, I hold my hands up, I wrote this," and links to it. And he said, "This is not a joke, by the way, I genuinely wrote it. Somebody asked him to prove it." He just printed out a version of it, the original. He even uploads a picture of, with a date and the file. None of these are hardcore proof, but certainly Godfrey Elfwick has been involved in this kind of thing before. And he even says here it was Abby Wilkinson who inspired me. And if you followed this show, follow my videos, you'll know she's the writer who said that the tears of joy emoji was the worst of all because it's used to laugh about human suffering. And that she also wrote that article about the radicalization of white men. He's obviously very astute in what he's doing. And he's observed this trend in The Guardian, which, like I say, just lately, their tech section it's been ridiculous. It has been absolutely ridiculous. They've gone so far over the top about some of these issues. And like I say, I'll just show you this article here about the radicalization of white men by Abby Wilkinson. And again, it comes up with this complete falsehood that somehow Steve Bannon being appointed to Trump's staff, it means that we need to be very mindful about alt-right culture and all this other nonsense becoming mainstream. That somehow, this man, Steve Bannon, who's been demonized with little evidence, very little evidence to even suggest he holds any bigoted views whatsoever. I think the only thing they found was testimony from an ex-wife from a 2007 divorce proceeding. That's the only thing that's documented. Certainly, there isn't a single Jewish person that's come out and said he's anti-Semitic. There isn't a single person that's come out and accused him of racism. But simply by virtue of being related to Breitbart, this is what you have to endure. This is what you have to put up with. And it's nonsense. There's simply no evidence to back any of these claims up. But there you go. And literally, the article that Godfrey has written is basically a parody of this. You can see how she's talking about all the same notes, Milo Yiannopoulos and Breitbart and alt-right, and on it goes. And basically, all white men are misogynists and we're all borderline racists. And what Steve Bannon and Trump says is that this attitude is okay, so it's only going to get worse. Again, it's just a liberal narrative. It's just complete nonsense. So when he took responsibility for it, I sort of looked into other things he might have done, because as I said, I follow the Twitter account, but what he's always very good at doing is basically adopting the over-the-top nature of a social justice warrior. And sometimes he gets quoted in articles, they use his tweets, journalists might contact him or whatever, but basically it, for most people in the know, it's quite a clear parody account. Now, what I did notice here was, he'd actually had previous of trolling mainstream media news outlets. He did it to the BBC over the new Star Wars movie. There's a video here,
I sit here in the world, pretty wild. I'll just play it a little bit. TV screens above me, tuned to various channels all around the world, so that we can keep across all of the breaking news that might be happening. And every time I glance up, there seems to be a little bit of the latest Star Wars trailer, which of course was released last night. It was streamed live on the internet. It is Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens. It's not released until, well, nearly Christmas, end of December. But to try and get people a little bit excited, there was a trailer shown last night at an official fan convention in California. And lots of people have been getting terribly excited about this, sharing this online. I have to say, the World Have Your Say meeting this morning was rather animated with enthusiasm from people looking forward to this. But we've brought together two people who have never, ever seen Star Wars. Godfrey Elfrick is a student in York in the north of England, and Rob is a London cabbie. I can't believe neither of you have ever seen Star Wars before. Godfrey, how old are you?
I'm 28 years old.
OK, so you're relatively young. You might get away with that. Rob, how old are you?
I'm 44.
Rob, you're 44. I mean, I'm 38 and I grew up with this. This was my childhood. How did you miss it?
I don't know. I think I was just interested more in cars and things on the ground rather than the whole sort of sky thing.
That's fair enough. Catherine in Texas has just gone in touch with us. I am super excited. I used to pretend to be Princess Leia and play Star Wars with the boys when I was about 3 or 4 years old. I'm sure many people around the world can identify with that. So Godfrey and Rob, we gave you some homework today, didn't we? We said sit down, watch the trailer for the new Star Wars film, and seeing as you've never seen anything before, give us your impressions. So Godfrey, first of all, what did you make of it?
It was very low quality. It's not my cup of tea at all. From what I have seen of the old Star Wars films, there's a lot of social problems with them. They're rooted in homophobia, racism, casual racial stereotypes. The Gold Robot's C-25, or whatever he's called, he's a camp new coward. The only main female ends up in a space bikini and chained to a horny space slug.
But to be fair, you're talking about all these things. They were from kind of the 70s and 80s, and I guess time has moved on, hasn't it? 30 years on.
And the main bad guy, what's he called? Dark Raider. That's just, he's not black.
Rob, you know, save us. Rob, save us. Rob, save us, please.
He listens to rap music. It's just a really bad racial stereotype.
So, as you can see there, you know, Dark Raider listens to rap music and it's a bad racial stereotype. You know, I mean, it's complete nonsense. But you will remember, and again, we highlighted this on the show, there were people out there who were legitimately trying to say that Star Wars itself was racist, was a white supremacist fantasy. This did actually happen. So the fact that he's trolled mainstream media outlets before, and the fact that he very rarely breaks character on his Twitter account, it actually makes me inclined to believe him. I think he did somehow get this into The Guardian. And it begs the question, doesn't it? At a time when we're being completely bombarded with this fake news, fake news, fake news, it's all fake news. Once again, we've got The Guardian has published something as fact, and it's complete nonsense. They haven't done any cursory checks whatsoever. So far, there hasn't been an apology issued. There hasn't been a retraction. It's still up on the website, by the way, which I think is incredibly irresponsible. Think about this for a second. If you publish something that was fake, and people can get to it and view it, every day, every moment it's up there, you are deceiving people. You are deceiving people, and they're doing it. That's exactly what they're doing. They're allowing it to stay up because, fake or not, suits the narrative, doesn't it? So why on earth would we take it down? Now, I'm pretty sure they're aware of the fact that Godfrey Elfwick has trolled them. It's all over the internet right now, and loads of people are having a good old laugh at The Guardian's expense. Rightly fucking so. You know, this should be immediately pulled while they investigate it. They should be putting up an apology, a retraction. Something should be happening, but it's not. And the reason it isn't is because, well, it's so well written, and it could be true. I think people who just check The Guardian and maybe don't check, you know, Kotaku in Action, or don't check, you know, trolling accounts, or don't check Breitbart, or don't check all these other alternative sources to actually get some truth in your fucking diet. You know, they think, well, they won't know. They won't know, so it's okay. And maybe we'll drive some people away from this horror of being right-wing and criticizing Islam. It's so terrifying that someone might do these things. So they're happy to leave it up. It's a complete fucking lie. Now, just to show you as well how much this was promoted, this article has been incredibly, insanely widespread. I'm not kidding.
World Have Your Say Studio.
So I'm going to show you exactly what happened here with the number of tweets. This is Godless Spellchecker's blog. And again, it's a great blog. You should check it out. What they did is they actually compiled the tweets. And you can see here, Glenn Greenwald. You know, this is the guy that blew the lid on Snowden and the NSA. A liberal writes in The Guardian how he was radicalized by SamHarris.org into full-scale hate mongering against Muslims. And Glenn Greenwald has actively gone after, you know, Sam Harris a lot in the past, and has talked about this new atheist movement. He's been very against it for reasons I don't quite understand. He's always struck me as a rational person. But this new atheist movement seems to strike a particular chord with him. You can see C.G. Whirlman here. Great read on how new atheism is a gateway to alt-right. And the alt-right is neo-Nazism, which again, preposterous. Mo Ansar, great piece. Many in the mainstream should take note. Alt-right online poison nearly turned me into a racist. I'm so grateful this was written. Islamophobia is the alt-right gateway drug for so many young white men. From Hend Amri. Imran Siddiqui. You can see Sam Harris is a gateway drug to Milo. Little quote in there. Luke Savage, Sam Harris was unsurprisingly someone's gateway to white nationalism. So think about what they're saying, you know, just in what they're pointing out there. I mean, first of all, whatever you think about Sam Harris, and, you know, for me, I think, you know, I always thought Sam Harris was a rational person. I think this election cycle has proved that not to be true. He certainly spent a lot of time just tweeting, you know, hyperbole and opinion that wasn't based in anything rational during the election cycle. Like a lot of posturing intellectuals did, they weren't able to intellectually sort of process the Trump phenomenon and what it might mean. And they started just saying a lot of nonsensical stuff. I mean, Sam Harris is, you know, very a big critic of Islam, yet he's supporting Hillary Clinton, which is taking money from Islamic regimes. I mean, it just doesn't make sense, does it, when you analyze it like that? But certainly, I don't think, you know, Sam Harris is a particularly bad person. I don't think he deserves to be mischaracterized as being an Islamophobe or a racist. And certainly when you are a responsible journalist and you've been trolled by a parody article, and what you're saying is, hey, you know, Sam Harris is a gateway drug towards actual racism. Well, I think you need to retract that statement as well, because it's not, first of all, the article isn't true. And second of all, based on the fact that it isn't true and therefore it couldn't have possibly happened, leaving that smear out there publicly is incredibly fucking irresponsible and borderline defamation, in my opinion. So, you know, ridiculous nonsense going on. And I think what is you know, unbelievable about all of this is once again, we have this publication, The Guardian, that are very vocal about, you know, what was it they just said after Trump came in? Now is the time for fearless journalism. You can't even do basic fact checking. You can't even tell when you're getting trolled, right? I manage that. There's a video just from a few days ago. Someone tried to troll me. You know, I turn it into a piece of content to show that journalistic due diligence is vitally important. But people just believe what they want to believe. And if somebody says the right things, if somebody is giving you the right message, they'll just be like, fuck it. I mean, I want it to be true. So I may as well just publish it, you know. And that's what you've got here. Meanwhile, similarly, they will attack publications that operate a little bit out of the mainstream as being fake news. The Guardian completely supports this narrative about fake news, completely supports this bullshit list made by some progressive professor in fat studies or whatever the fuck it was. And you know, they are publishing inarguably fake stories. They've been completely fucking trolled. They've bought this bullshit hook, line, sinker, copy of Angling Times, like everything. It's ridiculous. So I just wanted to highlight that to you. You know, I think it's a wonderful story. Mad props to Godfrey Elfwick. He's doing the kind of work I wish I was doing, honestly. I'm super fucking envious of this achievement. But I think more importantly, again, just understand that these publications are not above publishing complete fake bullshit if it suits their narrative. And they won't even retract it. They won't even apologize days after it's been brought to light that they are lying to you. They won't do it. So always, always, always take these publications with a pinch of salt. Anyway, thanks a lot for listening. I'll see you on the next video.